Good morning. Welcome to Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil.
Hey.
Good morning and welcome to Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil.
Welcome.
I'm Lucas.
Yeah, I'm Phil.
And today we have a very special episode planned for you. Why is it special today, Phil?
It's so special because we are here at the Manville Avenue Coffee Company in Chandler, Oklahoma.
Together again, again. I don't actually can't sing too much because I think the Muppets could have me taken down. But we are together again.
We are. We're together again.
Again.
Just praising the Lord.
Oh, no, you went a different
Our
much
older
more holy than me.
Listeners will know that song.
I was
maybe
Kermit and Fozzie. Driving down the road in the car. So
yeah.
Anyway.
So yeah. So Lucas, how's it been going, man?
It's been good. I've had been an interesting past few weeks. I'm trying to think. We recorded like a month ago.
It's been a while.
So life's been good. Just been teaching and
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Mostly it. So teaching.
So do you have a question for me or do I have a question for you?
You have a question for me, Phil.
What's the best thing you had to eat this week, Lucas?
Okay. So the best thing I've had to eat. So we had Tori's birthday party actually a little bit over a week ago.
Yeah.
And so for that, I smoked some pork butts. So we had pulled pork for her birthday. And I'm thinking,
you know, the interesting tidbit here, a pork butt does not actually come from
the
butt.
No, it comes from the shoulder.
Why is it called a butt? Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I don't know. Probably because it goes straight to your hips. Anyway, so I smoked these pork butts.
It gives
I smoked
you a pork butt.
Three, like, 10-pound pork butts. So a ton of pulled pork for this deal. Mm. I was thinking like a 4 or 5 hour cook. So I put them on at like 7 p.m.
Yeah.
I pulled them at 7 a.m. the next morning. So I was getting up and spritzing them with apple juice every hour and a half all night long. I was tired. But they were amazing. And this is actually not like this is building up because then on that following Tuesday, Tori made for us, her mom had made us this homemade coleslaw, which is just phenomenal. And so on Tuesday, you take the pulled pork, the coleslaw, and then just a little bit of sriracha on a corn tortilla that's been heated, and you have pulled pork tacos, and my Lanta.
My Lanta.
It was amazing, Phil.
All right.
It was amazing.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. You know, I think we maybe could get this podcast sponsored by the Pork Council of America. Because
I think we talk about pulled pork every single week. So
yeah. All right. So,
Philip, now my question for you is, do you have a dad story or a granddad?
Dad stories with Philip. Yeah. So, this is sort of goes into what may be my minute of culture today, but as you know, we, had a Super Bowl recently or the big game.
Right.
As I don't know if we can say Super Bowl. Can we say Super Bowl? I don't know if the Super Bowl people would. I don't know. You know, when I was doing church media and all the graphics that you would download for, you know, Super Bowl Sunday would say the big game. Like you can't say Super Bowl online or something like that. So if the Super Bowl people would let us know if we can say Super Bowl, then we'll say it. Otherwise, we won't say Super Bowl.
We're going to have to come back to this episode and just bleep out everything you said. It's going to be so good. Just
unnecessary
if
censorship.
If the bleep people can say bleep. Thank you.
Yeah, so anyway, we watched the Super Bowl, of course, because we're Chiefs fans.
Absolutely.
We've been Chiefs fans since the Chiefs were terrible. I've been a Chiefs fan for 55 years, something like that. Well, 54. Yeah. Anyway, so I was a little child, and the Super Bowl was coming up, and my son, my kids are Ben, Sam, and Katie. Ben's the oldest, Sam's the younger son, and then Katie's our daughter. And none of them live in Tulsa where we live. So we were kind of, I was a little sad thinking I'm not going to get to watch the Super Bowl with my kids. So we, you know, we're thinking about that and we decide we'll probably go over to some friend's house and watch the Super Bowl. My son, middle son, Sam, texts me and says, "Hey dad, are you coming to Texas to watch the Super Bowl with us?" And I was like, "Nah, you guys go ahead and make plans." Cause I thought that's what it was. I thought it was, well, you know, cause if you're not coming, then we'll go over to so-and-so's house or whatever. And, or we'll have some friends over. And that was the end of it. And so then a few days later, I get another text from Sam. It says, I really want to watch the Super Bowl with you, Dad. I was like, ah, okay.
My heart.
Right? So I'm like, I'm going. All right. I was like, honey, we're going. We're going to Texas to watch the Super Bowl. Let's figure it out. Tell Brad and his wife that we can't come. And so, so we decide to head down there. Well, we go to their house on Saturday. We leave on Saturday noon or so to drive down to Texas. We're there in the evening. We go to church on Sunday morning, and service gets over. And shout out to the Bridge Denton church down in Denton, Texas. Great nice. Church, great pastor, Pastor Jay. Great worship leader, Sam Blunt. Well, they have several different worship leaders, but he's one of them.
But, did he lead in a Chiefs jersey?
He did. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I think I saw Bronwyn post about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He had his Mahomes jersey on leading worship. And so...
it's his Mahomes church.
We finished church. I go out to go to the restroom, which I do because I'm old. Do that a lot. Go to the bathroom. So I came back in, and I'm talking to Bronwyn, and I'm talking to their neighbor who's standing there. And, you know, it's after service. People just standing around talking. And there's a guy standing next to me. I see this.
It's Patrick
red,
Mahomes.
It was a Travis Kelce jersey. And I'm looking at this, and I look at this guy, I look up at him, I'm like, well, first of all, why is he standing so close to me? And second of all, what, you know, who is this? So I stand and I look at him in the face, and he's sort of smiling. I'm like, why is this guy smiling at me? Why is this random guy smiling at me? I look away, and the neighbor girl and my wife were both looking at me like, what is wrong with you? And I realized that's my son. My older son, Ben, from New York, has flown in.
Oh, my goodness.
He flew in to surprise me to the point. I mean, yes, I was surprised. So surprised, I didn't even know it was him for a second. In my defense, he has lost a lot of weight in the last year. And I don't see him that often, although I did see him at Christmas. So. I just wasn't expecting to see him, but what a great time to be together and to share the back-to-back Super Bowl win of the Chiefs.
I can say,
really proved they're really something, especially the defense. I mean, everybody talks about how Patrick Mahomes, everybody wants to say Patrick Mahomes won that game. Guys, without that defense.
No, absolutely.
What would he have done? I mean, yes, he did it.
Yes.
He can execute that two-minute drill like nobody else, maybe in the history of the NFL.
I think you see that at the end of the game, and I think for sure the defense, but nobody wants to talk about defense, right?
Yeah.
There was that moment where Patrick Mahomes, I think he ran with like 23 yards or something at the end of regulation to kind of keep them in the game. And it was just that, like, he is not going to lose this game.
He has such a hard time losing. He knows how to win. It's amazing.
It's crazy because in college he had no idea.
Yeah, he's already in that sort of Brady, Manning, Montana, Marino conversation. All these great quarterbacks, and he's 20.
I mean, Peyton Manning will always have my heart, but he is very good. Yeah. He is very good. So.
Yo, Peyton's awesome. And Peyton continues to invest in the game and just be amazing.
Yes. Plus, I don't know if you knew this, he's a great actor. He was in Ferdinand. Watched that with my kids the other day. So.
He was in Ferdinand. Really?
Yeah, he's guap.
That's funny.
It's good movie. Good movie. Well, right. Phil, would you like a Gen Z word of the week?
Week. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Was that a new addition to the jingle? I didn't.
You did that. Yeah. I heard y'all talking about that on your other podcast.
Yeah. Speaking of which.
So, Phil, the real question here, and maybe actually I'm going to say this next episode from A Minute of Curmudgeonry, we'll get into your other podcast.
Okay.
So I just want to preface this.
All right.
So until then, Gen Z word of the week. It's giving.
It what?
It's giving.
Is that one word?
Two words. It's giving. It could be three. There's an apostrophe. It is giving.
It's giving.
You could also, you could switch it out like Phil is giving or like that computer's giving. You know, like there's several different things.
Sometimes I love Gen Z words and sometimes I hate them. I think I hate this one. I don't know what it is.
It's okay. Just guess. It's another holiday.
I'm saying,
it's like Thanksgiving.
Well, that's what I thought. It's giving. Like it's giving. But I'm not going to say that.
Every month, 26.
Two words.
The third Thursday in March.
It's giving.
It's giving.
Happy it's giving. I don't know. It's giving. That is something that is awesome. I don't know. Maybe it's another way of saying something is awesome. It's giving. That's giving, man.
Phil, I want you to know you're like half right.
Oh. Okay.
So, because all right. It could, technically, right, what it's doing is you would say, like, Phil is giving Johnny cash because you're in all black. So it's like kind of saying what the vibe is. So that the other day, my cousin literally said, Lucas and Tori are giving Lucas and Tori.
You're really giving off a vibe.
Or like
yourselves.
You could say, like, it's giving fall, you know, it's giving basic. Man. So you're kind of like just whatever the vibe is, that's what you're doing.
Wow.
It was just really funny. Lucas and Tori are giving Lucas and Tori. I'm like, I don't know what vibe we are, but apparently we
you have
a whole
your
adjective.
Own vibe.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
have arrived. Man, oh man, oh man. It's giving.
It's giving.
Yeah.
Lucas, second breakfast with Lucas and Phil is giving. Manville Avenue coffee. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not young and hip enough for this.
I don't know how to.
I'm younger and hipper enough.
You're young and hip enough to what do you call it? Administer Gen Z words of the week. But
absolutely.
Maybe not to use
I still
them.
Have all of my original joints, and I think that's what's important here.
Meaning physical joints between your bones.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, Phil, so we're to the main course, ready to eat. Let's eat and leave no crumbs, as they say.
Eat and
the
leave
Gen
no
Zers.
Crumbs.
Leave no crumbs.
Hopefully.
So, Philip, what are we talking about today?
So, you know, I have heard a lot for my whole Christian life about the idea of abiding in the vine. And I started thinking about literally this morning, you know, about 6 o'clock this morning when I'm sitting in my chair, drinking my coffee, round one of Phil's daily coffee. So I go past this verse. I have this list of daily meditations that I don't do it necessarily every day, but I try to meditate on scripture as much as possible. And most of these things have to do with what you would call our identity in Christ. But really they come down to what does it mean to be a believer? You know, who are you? What are you? What is your life about? As a believer. And I read this verse, John 15:5. Jesus says, I'm the brine. I'm the brine.
The brine.
Well, he's also brine. Yeah. He's no better than brine.
Salt of the earth. Thank you.
I am the vine, you are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
And so the little snippet in my meditations is, I am a branch of the vine, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started thinking, well, then the next few sort of reflect on that. Scripture's like, Jesus is my only source, which is sort of a reflection on the idea that if you're a branch of the vine, everything you are all your whole life comes from him.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's just sort of the next thing. And then Colossians 3:4, that Jesus is my life. You know, Colossians 3:3 says, set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, you also will be revealed with him in glory. So Christ is our life.
Mm-hmm.
He is the vine on which we're the branch on the vine. I mean, what else does a vine have to draw from? What else does a branch have to draw from than the vine? Nothing.
Yeah.
Right? So I was sort of meditating on this whole idea, and I thought, you know, we're told to abide in the vine. First of all, I'm just going to back up and say, Lucas, what do you think most people think when they hear a sermon or just an encouragement to abide in the vine or abide in Christ?
I mean, I think the first thought is definitely like, okay, just read your Bible,
pray every day.
Yeah, like that's the big deal. I mean, that would be where I think most people go with that, is just kind of a surfacey level. Here's what abiding looks like. I've been getting a lot more into Eastern culture and like reading the scripture from an Eastern cultural perspective, which I think is becoming a little bit more popular to do today. Yeah. And so I don't want to
like, recognize that there's a lot more East
yes.
in Christianity than West.
Yes. And so in that, I think I lost my train of thought.
Well, you're talking about abiding in the vine. People think, you know, they got to read the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
Day.
And I think Western, like, we want a checklist of, like, how do I abide? Give me a list that I can follow. Mm-hmm. And this is what abiding looks like. And every single person should abide like this. And once you do this, then you can move on with your day. And so almost it's like abiding needs to be a 30-minute or 15 or 5-minute segment of my day. And then I can move forward. And whether or not that's what most people think, I think that's practically what most people look like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good. So what would you think? What about the purpose of abiding in the vine? Like, like we have that, you're right, that checklist. Mm-hmm. And I, so what comes to my mind is, so if I check this box, i.e. abide in the vine, whatever that means, you know, yeah, that 15 minutes reading the Bible, mm-hmm. or an hour if you happen to be super spiritual, mm-hmm. then what? Why did I do that? Or what's the result? Or what's my payoff, so to speak?
Yeah. Well, and I think realistically, it's because if you think about it like that, it's more of the modern analogy, instead of I am the vine and you are the branches, what we're doing is we're saying, I am the phone charger, you are the phone. And so it's like, you're just going to plug in, get charged up, and then you could go do whatever you need to do.
So you can
come back and put it back on the charger for the night.
But
that's not how trees work. That's not how branches work. Like, have you ever gardened before, which I'm not a very good gardener. I have a friend who's going to teach me this year. He promised. Right. But you can't like unplug a plant and then you can't like take it out and then put it back and take it out and put it back and take it. It's going to die. It doesn't work. Like it's not a good way to keep a plant alive. Like it has to stay. And in fact, when you look back at in the writings, I think it's Paul that talks about, right? Like as the wild olive branch has been grafted in, couldn't he take the original olive branches and graft them back in? And all of these things, like these agricultural metaphors are because like abiding isn't something that just is a checklist item. It's a way of life. And ultimately, like this is following Christ is not a checklist. It's a complete change of purpose. If my purpose is to abide in Christ, that means every decision I make throughout my day is made from a place of abiding in Christ, not from a place of I'm going to do whatever I want and then I'll come back and I'll abide with Christ in the morning and he'll fix it all.
Yeah, man, what a great insight. We have this idea that if I do this moment or this process of abiding, check that box, then I get the payoff of, you know, I have enough gas for the day. I remember we used to talk about back in, when I was on church staff as a worship director, I'd hear pastors say a lot, well, you got to come get gassed back up in the middle of the week. That's why we have that midweek service. You can't just run all week on one. Yeah. And back then I thought, oh, wait a minute. So are we the only place anybody's getting any gas is here at the service? Because there's this idea that these things you do fill you up enough to go do the real thing, which is your life. So, man, what a great insight and what a great segue into kind of what I think the Lord was trying to speak to me, and you can help me with this as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because this is you know, kind of fresh. I'm going to read what I wrote this morning. Go ahead.
I just, one more, like to kind of play into that. I think in that it's that mindset of you come, you get gassed up, you go out, you live your life, and it is almost this, I was trying to look up the lyric because I don't want to misquote, but NF, I don't know if you, the rapper who mm-hmm. is also, he is a believer. He's not a Christian rapper, but he's a rapper who is a Christian.
Yeah.
But one of the lyrics he says is, I look up to God, I don't hear anything, but I know what he's saying. He's saying, I got you, or yeah, I got you. And it's, or I got your back. And it's this like, I don't think that's what he's saying, right? And I think that's how we want to live our lives is like, I'm going to go out, I'm going to do my thing. You talked about getting gassed up. I got fueled up for the day, which is almost like I talked to my spiritual bodyguard. I'm going to go do what I want. He's got my back.
He's got my back.
Right? He's going to keep anything from getting me. Like these demons got to stay back because God got me.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to go do whatever the heck I want. And it's like, no. Abiding in Christ does not look like doing whatever you want.
It's
and I
not
think
that.
This is... Now go.
So, but if we think about the reality that what Paul really taught, and it's a little more of an Eastern mindset than a Western mindset, because Eastern mindset, I think one of the things that would characterize it would be sort of a whole life philosophy. Mm-hmm. The spiritual life was a whole thing. Even the Hebrew, you know, the idea of even going to heaven or hell when you die was not really a Hebrew mentality. It was really more about this life, what you experience all through this life. Are you walking with God? Like, you know, Enoch walked with God.
Yeah, you're not eternal life in the sense that it goes on forever. And I think, obviously, this is true.
Yeah.
But coming back, your life on earth should be eternal in that the depths of your life here is infinitely deep.
And connected, therefore, to the eternal. And that was more of a Hebrew mindset of devotion to God. It's a connection, a continual connection to God. So if you think about what Paul was teaching, that and what Jesus taught, that I'm the He's the vine, and we're the branch. It's this continual. Mm-hmm. It's not just a lifestyle, because again, that's a little bit of a Western word, mm-hmm. but a life source. And then what does Paul come back and say? Set your mind on things above, set your affections on things above, because you died mm-hmm. and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Mm. That Jesus is, and then he says, when Christ, who is your life, this idea of abiding in the vine turns into, there's only one option if you want to call what you're doing living. Mm. Make sense?
Yeah.
And so I sort of had this thought. I don't know how this is going to come out. I wrote it this morning. My life comes from you. Every moment, every part, every opportunity for thought or feeling or action, everything of any real substance, all the reality I can create or participate in. And all that does not come from you is not life, not a participation in or creating of something real, but a dream, a vapor. Wood, hay, and stubble, to use 1 Corinthians 3. So to abide in the vine is to live in reality, to be awake to my true nature and the truth of all things. And not to abide is to live in a dream world where nothing can be trusted, nothing can be believed, nothing can be accomplished, and nothing can contain any real value. Wood, hay, and stubble, again. Mm. Does that make any sense?
No, absolutely. And I think you said dream world. I think more appropriately, a nightmare world.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
I mean, just this West versus East, and I don't think it has to be West versus East. It's West and East together.
Sure.
But I do think there is this like detachment from the spiritual. And
yes.
It's funny. You can get into a lot of conspiracies, and I think it's more true than we want to think that like our government or our leaders know more about the spiritual powers than we want to let on and would prefer us to live in a worldly mindset. But I do think when we are detached from the vine, right, nothing is real. Life comes from the Lord. And I think this, especially true in my own life, and I would like later on, we're going to do, I think, some episodes walking through for me specifically, but in your journey too, through leaving a life of pornography and an addiction. And I think there is this, detachment of the branch. And when you try to live your life segmented, that's not abiding.
Yeah, you think about an example of pulling away from reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You are, I mean, you're going to something fake to take care of a need that is real.
Yeah.
And not talking about any sort of sexual need, talking about a desire to be loved. Right,
because the sexual need's not even technically
no,
real from a it's not eternal.
No,
it's something our world wants
to. Yeah, it's something our world wants to say is a need, but lust is not a need.
No, it's not a need.
Love is, and I think so. It's this going to a fantasy and living in a nightmare in order to fulfill a need that can only be fulfilled by abiding in Christ.
Yeah. And here's another example. What about worry? Think about what is worry. Worry and fear. Anxiety. These are dreams.
Yeah.
These are nightmares. Like a good word. You know, these are dream worlds. If you worry, you're dreaming, it's a bad dream, of something that hasn't and probably will not happen.
Oh, absolutely. Great word, Phil.
You know?
Yeah. Anxiety, worry, dread, like all of the shame.
Yeah.
Even, you know, like all of these things are, I don't know, if you've really dived into like spiritual and like the demonic, those things, and I'm not telling people dive into the demonic, but just thinking about these or like reading from some C.S. Lewis and all of these other authors.
Yeah, read from Daniel and see what the angelic
all of these different things
were.
It's just this like they're shrouding your mind so you can't see what's actually happening.
Yeah.
And you think that your dream is your reality.
Mm.
When in reality, right, like the God of all the universe wants you to abide in him. He wants to be the life for you.
Yeah.
And I just think it's ridiculous. Like as a believer, especially like, right? Like if you already believe in and have given yourself to Christ, you are at that point choosing to live in an alternative reality, which is not real.
Yeah.
Right? Like what are we doing?
Yeah. Isn't it amazing that, you know, we were created in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
If you're born again, you've been created now anew as this new creation, whether that's simply spiritual or spiritual and soulish, or even, you know, triune like the Father, Son, and Spirit, whatever that new creation is. And we, you know, we can't understand all of those mysteries, but the reality of the new creation is you're created once again like Him in true righteousness and holiness. Mm-hmm. And when we live outside of those things, it's probably because, and I'll get real practical here, we forgot that our life only comes from Him, that reality only exists in Him. Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, you just said forgot. And I think we look through Scripture, and that's the verbiage that's used a lot of times, especially talking about Israel. They have forgotten their God. And it's not a, like, when we think of forgot, it's like, oh, where are my keys? Where are my keys? You know, it's not like an accidental, like, oh, you just can't remember where you put the, like, where'd you put your God? You know, like, right. That's what you do with idols. You lose them because they're, you know, pieces of clay or gold or whatever that, you know, have. Anyway, but, like, it's not a, like, literal forgetting. It's not where did we put them. It's, you know, like, I think about the Israelites just having come through the Red Sea, right? They watched the plagues come upon Egypt. They watched the sea opened up before them. They go through the sea. Then Moses comes up onto the mountain. And what do? They're like, what if we took and made a gold calf?
Yeah.
You know, like, what?
Right.
And it just immediate forgetting of God. They didn't forget that He led them through the ocean.
Yeah.
They forgot to abide and stay with Him. They built an alternate reality in which this fake cow was going to do something for Him. Exactly.
Because that's what Aaron said. He said,
This is your God.
This is your God who brought you up out of Egypt.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, well, we'll just give him a little something. And he wasn't even necessarily trying to make him practice idolatry. I think he thought, well, they're used to worshiping things they can see. I'll just say, this is the God of Israel.
Well, and
this is weird, kind
a,
of
a whole nother message, whole but it is. He, but you talk about this alternate reality, though.
Absolutely.
He took the beautiful things of God, this beautiful reality, and then tried to make them understandable to a people who were used to an alternate reality.
Oh, man.
I mean, you take and you mix the message, and that's where it gets twisted.
I see. And I think we're coming back to what tends to be, I feel like maybe the Lord wants to say something to Lucas and Phil, and maybe through Lucas and Phil to our dozens of listeners whom we greatly appreciate, and that is, know me. This is not about gaining knowledge.
No.
This is about gaining intimacy and maintaining intimacy with a God who is madly in love with us.
Yeah.
And who's, you know, who created us for Himself.
Yeah. And I don't remember if we did the last episode. It wasn't the last one, but I don't remember if we took the episode on Sabbath, on rest. But this just beautiful picture of God saying, right, it's not about what you can do. It's not about what you've done. It's not really about anything except for that I love you. Mm. And so the God of the universe legitimately enjoys us.
Yeah.
Right. To our listeners, He legitimately enjoys you.
Yeah.
And He wants to spend time with you. Prayer is a method to spend time with you, right? When we read Scripture, it's because God wants to spend time with you. When He says, pray without ceasing, He's saying, stay with me throughout your entire day. Live in the reality of me.
Of me.
Constantly.
In you, through you.
Yeah. Don't put back on the VR headset. Don't run exactly into a false reality. Don't go back to sleep. There's another thing, right? Rest is not sleep. But like, stay with God in this.
Yeah.
And this is all the time.
Right. Yeah. That He is our life.
Yeah.
He is our only source. He's the branch. Mm-hmm. It's not just utter dependence on Him. He's the vine. I keep saying He's the branch. He's the vine with a branch. It's not just dependence. It's that constant, it's that staying, abiding always. Uh-huh. It's a mindset, maybe. And I was also going to say, He didn't have to create us. He did it. He created us like Absolutely. He wanted to, because He wanted to.
Yeah.
So you're here. You're only here. You only exist. You're only awake because He wants you to be awake. Yeah. He loves you.
Yeah. God did not make a mistake.
No.
And He's like, not making mistakes.
What did I do now?
Oh, these humans. I guess I'll roll with it. No.
Right.
When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, He was not surprised.
He was not surprised.
And when we screw up, He's still not surprised. And yet through all of this, he sent his son to die for us because he wants us.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
It's his heart to have us close to him and to abide in him. Yeah. Great
Lucas. I think we could talk for hours more, and we will.
And we will, but not in this episode.
Yes. Yeah. So, Phil, you get to take your flowers. The Chiefs have won the Super Bowl. Here is your minute of hopefully the opposite of curmudgeonry, although, you know, if you want to be mad, be mad.
I am not mad. I just want to say I have had I've had a great week. I was very irritated by some of the people saying, you know, that, oh, it was just Patrick Mahomes or whatever. And I kind of already went through that. That was a team effort. And I've really enjoyed for once just getting to be a fan of something that's really successful.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I was a fan of the Royals back when they won the World Series. And then we had the first strikes. And this is most of our listeners probably weren't alive yet. The first baseball strike. And I quit being a baseball fan. The Royals won the World Series again, but it's always been, you know, feast or famine with them. Mm-hmm. This is a dynasty, and I'm glad, and I'm thrilled, and I'm sorry for people who have not experienced that, because it's been two dynasties, three in my lifetime, really, the Cowboys,
the Patriots,
and now looks like the Chiefs.
The Chiefs. I mean, realistically, if they don't win another one, you would still call it that.
Still 3 and 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. So, man, this has been a great conversation.
Yeah. Well, we love you guys. We are glad you have chosen once again to listen to Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please send those over to secondbreakfast777@gmail.com or
secondbreakfast777@gmail.com. I should check that, by the way. I haven't checked it in a month or so.
We love you guys, and we look forward to you hearing us.
I have one other thing to say. Oh, that wasn't. Let's try that again.
Love and pancakes. Love and pancakes.
Love and pancakes.
We love you.
Yeah, we love you. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.
Bye.